Brad Sesmatch Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. We will have Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist, coming up at 10:35. Things around the Oscars last night, college basketball, a terrific weekend of college hoops, and the Coyotes making a deal. I know the Coyotes are teetering on irrelevant, but I'd like to get Paula's view on that. So we have plenty of time today. I like Monday shows where we can just kind of stretch out on everything that happened over the weekend. So like many of you, I was sitting there last night waiting for Best Picture. I was in my office going through today's show and the TV show and all of the things that we do and laying it out. And so I had one eye on the Oscars as the night was progressing. And when I walked in and they announced that La La Land had won Best Picture, my wife and my daughter, and she's very much a movie buff, she was giddy that they had won. So I walked out of the room and I went back into my office and I had turned the television off because I was on the Coyotes up until that point. I was watching some of the Oscars, but I was watching more of the Coyotes, interested in the Martin Hansel trade. And I hear this screech out of my kitchen in the other part of the house, no way, no way, no way. And we'd already shut the television off. And we were confused. My wife and I walk in, what's up? It's all over social media. La La Land did not win. Moonlight won. So for Best Picture. And so I walked back into my back into the back part of the house and flipped it on. And it was already over, all the disruptions. And so I wanted to learn more. So I was on social media quite a bit last night. And did not turn the television back on to watch any of it. There was a moment where CNN's got to be talking about, no, they were running a rerun because it's Sunday night. The world just stops. Well, Fox News got to have, no, it was a rerun. It was, so, you know, there was nothing newsworthy going on in our world on a Sunday night at 10 o'clock, I guess. And sure, they just went on cruise control. Which is always interesting. But as I was able to get my arms around it, Warren Beatty got crushed unnecessarily because I think if you look at what he was trying to communicate, it's like, wait, this doesn't quite make sense. And so everybody immediately goes the Steve Harvey jokes. That's very funny, very apropos. There is this somebody somewhere, you only had one job to do, just one job, and you can't even get that one job right. But, you know, for today, that's all that people are talking about. I've got to do sports, which we love doing, and I've got sports stuff to get to, but there's not a person I know that doesn't have a, wow, I saw that, that's crazy, or I saw it on social media, or I watched it. Some people didn't watch it. That's fine. That's not for, Oscar's not for everybody. It's kind of like Trump's approval rating. 48% of the country don't like Trump. Well, guess what? It means 52% do. So you can take that number and make it any way you want to make yourself feel all good about you. Me, for last night, that's very funny. I thought it was a good show at the beginning with Justin Timberlake. I thought Jimmy Kimmel's stand-up was very funny. You knew there was going to be political stuff. It was just smart. Just very smart. When he looks into the audience at Meryl Streep and says, is that an Ivanka that you're wearing? I mean, that's just funny. That you don't, if you're one of these people that is so wound up on the political front, then don't watch. It's really not that hard. Then all you want.
I enjoyed the tweet to Donald Trump.
That was funny.
That was funny. Because, you know, I mean, there's so many different layers that you can peel back on that.
There's Eric's voice. Now we'll see Eric here in a second.
Oh, okay.
But it's fine. It's fine. No, the smartness of walking out and bringing in a tourist who's just out there minding their own business and saying, hey, guess what? We've got this little show going on here, and you should get involved. I thought that was funny. I thought Justin Timberlake's choreographed open, that's not easy. I can't imagine that would be easy. You may not like Justin Timberlake. I thought it was very funny when Jimmy Kimmel's up there just ripping on Justin Timberlake.
You should be able to see me now.
Yeah,
it was an operator error on the producer's part.
That's
so
fine.
It happens. The cord wasn't all the way plugged in. But I was thinking when I saw it this morning, I was on a plane last night, but everyone, of course, was talking about this morning all over social media.
Sure.
Do you think actors were acting last night?
They might have been. It doesn't matter to me. Life's too short to sit here and wonder whether they were or they weren't.
Oh, come on. You are the king of conspiracy.
No,
you love to peel back the onion.
No. There's not glassy. There's no glassy knoll on
or
this
or grassy
one.
Knoll.
Glassy. Grassy knoll. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's easy.
You don't think so? You don't think this was like, hey, we really want to create a lot of buzz around the Oscars. A lot of buzz.
Well, sure. It's kind of like LeVar Ball saying his son's going to play for the Lakers.
I see you. I can relate to that. Allegedly saying that.
Allegedly,
we're not
yeah.
totally sure Gosh, that he said it. Someone tweeted it.
We'll get into that in a second. But no, I didn't think that you bring everybody up on stage and say, well, look, we're going to announce one group of winners, and all of you are just going to have to play along with it, and we're going to be able to keep that a secret.
I tend to agree with you, but you just and it's how you just never know. Sorry, I don't want to be the wet blanket on Monday, but that was just the first thing. Like, did someone scheme this together?
I didn't think that. I felt like somebody did screw up. Price Waterhouse can issue an apology. Will Miss Universe next year get big boffo ratings because of Steve Harvey that people will bring it back? Maybe. Was last night such a political jab fest towards Trump and the political? I mean, Jimmy Kimmel gets up on stage. Welcome to America, the land where everybody hates us now. I think that if you don't have some humor about you through all this, that you're probably about to have your head explode. And most of you that don't have a sense of humor about this, if it was not leaning your direction, you probably didn't watch last night. You're probably angry that I'm not talking about LeVar Ball. Get to LeVar Ball. That's low-hanging fruit. It's like we need more LeVar Balls in our lives sometimes. Emma Stone winning. I was thinking of Bill. You know, Goody gets on here every year. Bill's been with us for 5 years. And every year, the week that it is Oscars, Bill says the same thing. I hate the Oscars because of deadline. I hate the Oscars because of deadline. I hate the Oscars because of deadline. Well, guess what? Welcome to our world. In sports, we have deadlines. In sports, we play games at night. And we don't know when they're going to end. We don't know how they're going to end. We don't know if there's going to be some sort of twist or turn or plot twist or any of that stuff. And guess what? There was last night.
And boy, was it a long waiting game. Jeez.
Four hours and change,
waiting
man.
Waiting patiently.
I didn't do that. Like I said, I got over to the Coyotes. You know, on the sports front, this weekend to me, I was at a men's conference with my son. Friday night and Saturday, I went to a men's conference. I heard Ron Wolfley speak at a men's conference on Friday night. And Ron didn't talk at all about sports. Many of you guys, you see Ron on television, you'll listen to Ron over on 98.7, or you'll hear him around a Cardinals game, and you hear this one guy, and I've gotten to know Ron a little bit as the guy you don't know, which is far more interesting than somebody who can just talk about pulling guards and any of that stuff. So Friday night, I'm at this men's event, and here's Ron up on stage, and there's like, I don't know, it was like 500 men. And I brought my son with me. My 12-year-old wanted to go, and he was fascinated by Ron's talk. Ron got really deep. Ron's mentioned on this show before the dark side of stuff, and he talked about the dark side at great lengths. And I found that to be very, very interesting and fascinating, much more than salary cap or what's going to happen at the combine or any of that stuff, stuff that was really meaningful. And then on Saturday, a guy named Bob Goff spoke, and he was very funny, very deep, very straightforward. So it was great to be away from the sports thing to unplug. You got to unplug. Whatever it is that you do, you got to unplug. Eric went and unplugged watching sports. He went down to TCU ASU, right?
Yep, watched some basketball and watched some baseball last weekend. So
to TCU, that's where Gonzo's kid is going still, right?
If he does not leave for the draft, yes. He's signed to play third base.
Now, as you're saying this, you're thinking how you're saying this correctly. Are you aware of something?
No, but I think you and I know Gonzo well enough. I know where Gonzo wants his kid to go. I'll just leave it at that.
So. He wants him to go pro, you think? Think it wouldn't be good for him to Jacob for a couple years?
My gut would say he wants him to go pro.
Yeah.
Just in my conversation.
Well, if the dollar figures
of
are
course.
Right, you have to.
Of course. Yeah, I got away for a couple of days this weekend. It was good.
So. No, that's great. I'm glad you did. I'm glad.
Thank you.
That's fine.
So, but I did watch quite a bit of other sports besides TCU sports this weekend. So
I was just all wound up. I wanted to see a little bit of Kansas, Texas. I was home in time to watch that. because Kansas could still be the number one seed. Thought about going out to the Diamondbacks. You know, I was talking to a friend of mine who's going to the Cubs. They're asking for $150 a ticket for Cubs for really good seats. $150 to watch number 98 throw to another number 72.
Yep, and watch number 85 run around the warning track in the fourth inning.
Right, and a ground ball hit to number 77, who's going to throw it across the diamond to number 91. Just so you can say that you're there.
It is different, though, because the people that are coming to the Valley from places where it's snowing don't mind paying the $150 to watch practice baseball.
No, I'm fine with that, but I think that at some point, and Cub fans are just different. Cub fans have suffered forever, so they want to know who number 77 is, and they want to watch number 98, because one day number 98 will be number 3. And number 77 will be number 20, meaning they'll be on the big league roster. But man, dropping $150 just to watch spring training baseball, man.
And that's just your ticket. That's not your hotel. That's not your beer. That's not your food. That's not your parking. That's just your game ticket.
Like, we're spoiled because I can get out of here today, drive down the street 5 miles, pull in on a blustery day and watch the Diamondbacks play the Reds at 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Yep.
And I get it. I got a pass. But if I wanted to take my kid, I'd have to go buy tickets to do it. You think, yeah, Brad, you can just go get free comps all you want. No, you can't. And I'm just not one of those guys. It's a ticket mooch. I'm not. So if the Diamondbacks were, let's say, in Florida, or if they were in Palm Springs or wherever, there was a time where the Cactus League was spread out all over the place. The Padres used to play the Angels in Palm Springs. They'd have to drive over there to see them and play against them. It's great that we have it here now. It's just, wow, that's a ton of dough to watch. And I did watch the end of the Daytona 500. You know, NASCAR is coming here next month. And for Tony Stewart, who's now an owner, that's when you feel old is when Tony Stewart's an owner now. Kurt Busch had his mirror fall off with 30 laps to go, and he's going 250 or 240 miles per hour. And Kurt Busch finally wins at Daytona. That was really good drama yesterday. But it was not as good as what happened in Tucson. So on the other side, I'm going to get into that because there's a lot of moving parts around the dad of Lonzo Ball and the Phoenix Suns being, impacted potentially off of what the dad reportedly said. ESPN had a bad night. I'll get into that, too, on the other side, a little TV stuff. And then Paulo will be along with news and notes. The Coyotes make a trade. We'll get into that. It's also a big week for Al McCoy. We'll explain straight ahead. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So we've been talking about Lonzo Ball on this show since November, when it was very, very apparent that he was the best player on the planet when it came to the college scene, that he was different than anything that I've seen since Jason Kidd and before that Magic Johnson. Then his little brother went out and scored 90-some-odd points, and the dad was quoted in a story saying, if I had just turned him loose, which raised my eyebrows, like, what do you mean turn him loose? So then LeVar Ball got in the dad. Got in more conversation when he said his son is better than Steph Curry. If you put Steph on UCLA and my son on the Lakers, he's bigger, he's stronger, he's this, he's that. This brings us all towards Saturday afternoon. Saturday was a ball fest. There was some major, major goofs by ESPN that I'll get to in a second. LeVar Ball, his other son, LaMelo Ball, had a playoff game and missed 30 three-point shots. Yep. He was 20, I should say. I'm sorry, 20. 8 for 28 from three-point country. And his team, Chino Hills, lost to Mater Dei in the California playoffs on Friday. Bol Bol had 14 points, 15 rebounds, 5 blocks for Mater Dei, but he's not one of the Ball brothers. Bol Bol is his name. He's at Mater Dei. LiAngelo Ball had 26 on 9 of 32, 5 of 18 from 3. LaMelo Ball was 8 of 28 from 3-point country. So it was one of those deals where that happened for Chino Hills. Only six players, including two of the balls, were on the floor. So that takes us over to the UCLA U of A game in Tucson. LeVar Ball decides to go on a radio show in Tucson. It's a pregame show of the flagship, which is K-Cub, K-C-U-B, in Tucson. And so this is good work by them, chasing down LeVar Ball and getting him on the show. This is good work. And part of their conversation was about his son playing for the Lakers. I'll get into that in a minute. But they asked him first about, what about these comments you made about Steph Curry? Walk us through.
Well, they were asking me, everybody keep asking me the same question. I have my opinion of my son.
Right.
And I watch people play. And like I said, he's better than Steph Curry. To me. Now, it don't have to be to everybody else. But to me, I think my son is better than Steph Curry. And I don't care what nobody says. I'm saying he's taller, faster, stronger. Put him in the right situation, which is, I mean, Steph Curry shoots the ball, Lonzo shoots the ball. He dribbles the ball, Lonzo dribbles the ball. But like I'm saying, he's going to have problems if he's trying to go with my son one-on-one, but it's a team game.
Okay, so he's got problems if he's going against my son. He didn't back down off of what he said. If a dad owns it, a dad owns it. Dad feels that way, fine with that. We actually had a sibling, not a sibling, we had a mother-son situation over the weekend with Shaq and his mom, I'll get into a little bit later in the show. But so we have the dad saying in this interview on KCUB in Tucson, pregame show, like 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday, that that his son is better than Steph Curry. But then he also said, this is reportedly, because while this interview is up in pieces, it's not up in full. So the very key piece of this interview was your son playing in the NBA, and the dad brought up he wants him to play for the Lakers.
Yeah, someone tweeted, LeVar Ball quotes, "My son will only play for the Lakers, Michael Luke." Yeah. But then right above it, it says, in one part of the interview that was not recorded, the elder Ball said he wanted his son to play for the Lakers, who are coached by former Arizona standout Luke Walton. So
we're walking a slippery slope. Okay, so then that brings us to the ESPN broadcast.
Ugh.
ESPN, you know where I'm going with this.
I do.
ESPN sends out Dan Shulman and Jay Billis, and they're great. They're great. They went all in. They had Jay Williams out there. Who else did they have? They had Jay Williams.
They had the coach, the former the bald-headed coach, yeah. His name is escaping
me. Yeah,
me
too.
Seth Greenberg,
and then they had a female reporter.
Who's very good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we get to halftime of the game. It's a pretty darn good game, pretty close, good broadcast. Dan Shulman comes out, play-by-play guy, very well-established, well-regarded, and he says, we're going to have, coming up at the 16-minute timeout, we are going to have Lonzo Ball's dad, who is here tonight.
And they showed a person in the stands.
So they teased that ahead, and I'm like, well, I'm going to stick around for that. I kind of want to hear where this is going to go. And then they double down on it and say, you won't believe what was said earlier. This is on a cracked cell phone case. So they show a cell phone that has what's hard to recognize as a tweet of somebody saying Lonzo Ball's dad said that he wants to play for the Lakers. Okay. Well, now I'm like, okay, wow, cracked cell phone, that's a little sketch. You're just going to show that. They didn't tease this in the open, which is very important. They didn't tease this at the 16-minute mark in the first half. The 8-minute, they didn't tease this at halftime. They teased all of this coming out to start the second half of what was a great game. You didn't even really need this stuff. So then when we get to the 16-minute timeout and Dan Shulman says, coming up, we're going to hear from Lonzo Ball's dad. Again, crowd shot. They show a guy. I don't know. I've never seen him.
He looked like Lonzo Ball's dad.
I don't know.
Fair enough.
So they go to the break for 2 minutes. And in those 2 minutes, I would love to have had an intercom within the truck with Dan Shulman, the nice female reporter, because I have to assume that she is the one that put this all together. So they come out, and Dan, and they're right back to action rather than going to the interview. And Dan Shulman says, we were given some erroneous information. That's Lonzo Ball. That's not Lonzo Ball's dad. He's not here. Okay. This is This is ESPN. This is not some little tiny outlet. This is a major game. This is not Western Kentucky against South Florida. This is where you better have all of your bleep together. I never got an explanation from Dan about, and I'm not blaming him.
No, he's the person that looks bad, but it's not. He's the face, so he has to own it. But in reality, like you said, it was probably either the reporter or one of the producers that said, "Hey, Lonzo Ball's dad is here." It reminded me, Brad, of Dan Patrick on SportsCenter when Steve Bartman yeah. called in, and everyone's like, "Oh," and then ESPN got duped. It doesn't happen very often. It rarely happens. But those are the two instances that came to my mind. But
they never explained this about the cracked phone.
No, they
in that
just,
text
they
either.
Kind of just moved just, right back to the game. And thankfully, it was a really good game, and most people are like, "Oh, cool, okay, we've got a close game here between two top five teams."
My wife heard me yell out loud, like, "You've got to be kidding me." And she walked in, she said, "What happened?" I told her, and she said, "Yeah, I was waiting for that, and the guy never showed up." She was watching the game in the other room. I don't get how you can have a live event and just show a guy and not know for sure that that's not the guy. Somebody with UCLA, "Hey, we're thinking of talking to Lonzo's dad. Is that him?" "No, that's not him. That's a guy wearing UCLA that works over at the coffee shop who just got in here. He doesn't know any of these players."
But, you know, things like this happen on a local level over the weekend. A local website reported that Jake Plummer's son, Jack Plummer,
all right,
got an offer from the University of Arizona, and they did a whole write-up on it on their website.
Beautiful.
And guess what? Jake Plummer has a son.
Yep.
But he is not a junior in high school.
Nope.
He does not live in the state of Arizona.
Nope.
He has not been offered by the University of Arizona. It happens. It has happened. It just happens. But
how does that one happen?
I don't know. It's just
how does that one happen?
Somebody got yelled at. That's all I have to say.
Did I screw up a name? Have I screwed up a name? Sure.
Oh, of course.
I had Mark McMillan in studio, and I called him Eric McMillan. Live.
It happens.
It's bad.
It happens.
It's bad. You feel horrible. But, you know, you also don't tease people with, "Here's the dad."
Especially like a lightning rod, like Mr. Ball. I mean, one of the most talked about figures over the last couple of weeks in all of sports.
So the point on the Lakers, so he walked back on that a little bit. And I'm just reading stories that have been out there in the last 24 hours. The fact that he is acknowledging that he has that belief as a dad, what dad would not say, "Hey, I don't want my kid to play for the Timberwolves. I don't want my kid to play for the Grizz. I don't want my kid to play for the Hawks. They stink. I don't want them to go to the... I want him to play for the Lakers and play for Magic Johnson." That's all very reasonable. But again, I go back to what I said last week about Magic being the face of the Lakers to recruit talent, and Robert Sarver sitting over here. If you're the Suns, now that you know that this dad is out there, you can't just say, "Well, it's just a dad, we'll deal with it." If you decide that you're going to draft Lonzo Ball, which I want them to do badly, they've been playing great basketball here since the All-Star break, gagging away two games, were right within their reach, and knowing full well to be in tankapalooza mode is what we need here in Phoenix. So if you're in that room and you're Ryan McDonough and you're Robert Sarver, you can think, "I'm going to draft this kid, and we're going to have this kid for 5 years. Yeah, you may only have him for 5 years, and then he's out of here. So you're going to have work to do, and you can say all the right things. I've seen plenty of owners through the years in sports say, "Oh, well, we'll convince him to stay here," and then they're gone. Now, Magic Johnson may be the guy that gets Paul George and Russell Westbrook to be in L.A., not this year, but next year. I think that's what's going to happen. Magic's, when both those guys are free agents, they're both going to L.A. People can question whether Magic Johnson is going to be competent at what he does. He doesn't have to know salary cap rules. All he has to do is go recruit. You can hate on Magic all you want. Facts are, I don't see anybody over here that can out-recruit Magic Johnson. I just don't. So now that the dad's thrown out there, that's a different little piece of the equation for me, at least, as I'm seeing this whole thing play out. The Suns play Memphis tomorrow night. Friday night is Al McCoy being put in the Ring of Honor. It's going to be a tremendous night. It's well-deserved, and all the platitudes are deserved with Al. I'm not going to sit here and go on and on and on and on forever. It's just deserved. I'm hoping to have Al on the Sports Media Podcast later this week. On the other side, Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat.
Giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central Sports columnist, Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sussmat.
News and Notes, Paula Bovin, AZ Central Sports columnist. A week from now, she will be not heading out yet, but in a week and a half, she'll be in Vegas, right? You're going to the Pac-12 tournament, I'm assuming?
I hope so.
Oh,
I don't
wow.
know for sure yet, but I hope so.
Putting her on the spot here.
You
have 5 weeks left as columnist at AZ Central, right. correct?
That's correct, yes.
Nothing has changed.
Let's see, I'm actually going through the end of April now.
Oh, so things have changed.
More. A little bit more, yeah.
Hey, so let's go get a cup of coffee. Can you stick around till August? Can you stick around through 2019? That's what's going to happen here, right?
I am happy that somebody still wants me around, so I'm happy.
Oh, listen
for that.
To you. Listen to you.
Yeah.
Let's start. The Oscars. So, because I'll get into Lonzo Ball's dad and some of the other stuff over the weekend. But okay, did you and Jay see either Moonlight or La La Land?
I have not seen either. I was set to see Moonlight soon, but I haven't got out there yet. So no.
All
to
right.
be honest, I've not.
So was the drama of last night, were you not as caught up in that because you had not seen either one?
No, I was very caught up in it because it was just fascinating theater. I just have never seen anything like it. It's such a high-profile kind of thing. And, you know, what struck me, and as some people have been putting on social media, you know, entertainment reporters, welcome to our world of sports journalists, right? I mean, this is like the game is tied and suddenly somebody, you know, comes from behind, wins the game, like the AFC basketball game. And, you know, this is our world. This is how we write. So that part of me was kind of amusing. You know, we always joke at the sports writers at Arizona Republic that on like election night that all the news writers, they bring in pizza because these poor guys have to work
at
night
hard.
Covering election stuff, you know, and this is stuff we do every day. So that's what I was thinking of, the sports angle.
Nothing like being on deadline and a 3-run home run after you've already put the game story to bed.
Exactly. Yeah. That's happened more. That's why often Diamondbacks games, I'm writing two columns at the same time. The losing Diamondbacks column and the winning Diamondbacks
right.
column.
That's yeah. right. Okay, so did you see UCLA U of A?
I did, yes.
And what do you make out of that game?
I make that UCLA played as good a defense as I've seen them play. You know, that's been sort of a big criticism with them, obviously. ASU, Arizona missed some... a lot of threes, and probably the guy who had the ball, Kadeem Allen, with a broken pinky, probably should not have been the guy taking that last shot. But really, I mean, I thought for me the storyline was about how sort of aggressive and tough on defense UCLA was, because they have not been that this season, and that was a storyline to me.
Well, and I looked at Alkins, Allen, in my notes here, watching the game, Ristic. They're like 5 for 18. They didn't do anything.
Right.
And if that happens during the regular in the postseason, they're going to be a team that's out in a hurry, because, you know, their depth gets them to a point. Parker Jackson Cartwright played pretty darn well, I thought, in the first half, second half, non-existent. They get into marketing because UCLA has two bigs. Really what's interesting now to me, I'm curious on your view, is at the Pac-12 tournament, if things finish out as we expect them to do, then Oregon would be the number one seed, which means they would not play UCLA or Arizona until the championship, which means we'd have Bruins and Wildcats in the semifinals in all likelihood in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. I don't take too much from the other night. You know, it's like when U of A beat UCLA on the road in January, it was fine. It was a midseason game, and that's it. Nothing more. The other night... maybe UCLA gained some toughness and some grit out of it, something that people had questioned. It was a very impressive win, probably pushed them from a 4 to a 3 seed in my view. But really, Paula, you can't get too far ahead on these regular season games because the conference tournament's where it's at now.
No, absolutely. And if I could veer away for 1 second on what you were saying, by the way, you mentioned UCLA a 4 seed, which is where guys like Lunardi have them right now, which is hard for me to believe there are 15 teams in the country better than UCLA.
Agreed.
I just don't buy that.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy. So anyway, I needed to get that off my chest. I think UCLA is a really, really good team. I think if they play this kind of defense, they could be a Final Four team. So I don't think fans, Arizona fans, should panic about this, but I mean, it's this tournament's going to be interesting, and this postseason's going to be interesting, and I think Miller does a good job of sort of getting them to peak at the right time, and hope, and for their sake, hopefully that is in the Pac-12 tournament and the NCAA tournament. But it's this Pac-12 tournament's going to be great this year, I think.
Yeah, but you're dismissing this Saturday's game.
That's true.
I mean, and I'm not getting on your case. It's just,
right.
I think that, look, if U of A comes up here and loses to ASU,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden they go from a 3 or a 4, maybe. Do I think they're 15 teams, back to your point, better than them? No, but it's about how you finish a season. And
right.
So if they come up here and they fall, you know, I think in the tournament, Oregon's a 2 seed right now, and they probably go to Sacramento. They probably just take a bus ride down I-5, or they end up in Salt Lake City. That's very advantageous. I think UCLA probably does the same thing. Arizona mm-hmm. drops a game. Maybe you end up being shipped off to Orlando or someplace where you don't want to go. That's
no,
the thing.
It's a great point. I mean, it's, you know, people sort of like to dismiss sometimes that it's not that big of a deal where they're playing, but it is. I mean, traveling across the country, and we've seen with this team and other teams in the past, it's hard. It's a quick turnaround. It's a different time zone. There are challenges that you have to deal with. So, no, I agree with you, Brad. I mean, I think that's a significant as far as the ramifications of what might happen here in the next week or two.
Does Gonzaga losing to BYU the other night knock them off your 1 seeds?
That's a tough one. I like them, but probably because based on their conference, their history, I feel like the people that are determining seeds will lose some faith, you know, and I understand that. But it's 1 victory right now. Is it that bad that they lost 1 game this season? I think some people are making it to be a little bit too much. I guess it's the timing of it that's worrisome for people.
No, that's true. That's true. I don't know much about U of A's new athletic director they hired over the weekend, other than he was at Oregon and came from Western Michigan, and that he's a fundraiser. It's not a name that's on radar screens, and he's got to address Rich Rod's status probably here in the next year, I would think, right off the top. Too early for you to give me anything on that?
No. The only thing I know is Greg Byrne is really high on him from what I've heard, and so I would imagine that sort of helped his cause. And he sounds really respected among his peers. I've read a lot of positive stuff from around the country. So, I kind of understand the hire. It's an experienced guy who's been at it at a high level. So I'm not surprised by the hire, but I haven't heard much, which in some ways might be good. I don't think he's been immersed in a lot of controversy, so that's probably a good thing.
I did see where he was pursued by Michigan, and he said, no, I'm going to stay at Western Michigan. So that tells mm-hmm. me a lot right there.
Right.
Lonzo Ball's dad. So Eric went back through the interview, and I read the interview part where the dad said reportedly that he wanted to play for the Lakers and is backtracking away from it because this was I don't want to get too far down this. They didn't record the segment where he said that. So I'm not hearing context. You know how that works.
Sure.
When you don't hear context, we have a problem here. So it's kind of like, well, there's this part of the tape where he's just crazy Lonzo Ball's dad, and then there's this part, well, we don't have that. So but sure. I have to go. I'm not thinking they made this up. I'm just going to say to you, when you heard that Lonzo Ball's dad suggested that he wanted his son to play for the Lakers and to be around Magic Johnson, part of me says, well, of course, any dad would say that. 1, 2, the other side is this guy's nuts. Where do you come down on it?
Yeah, I think the thing I worry a little bit about, just for his son's sake, is his dad going to be a disruptive force in some way, shape, or form? I mean, that kind of, you know, Lonzo had to answer some questions about that, and that's concerning. But the other part of it is, you know, John Elway, Eli Manning, Kobe Bryant, those are all people who basically told franchises, I'm not playing for you. They've moved on, they've salvaged their reputation, and they did not play for those franchises that they said they didn't want to. So, you know, I wouldn't be totally shocked if it became an issue, but, you know, I think it's a lot of gall for a father to make that statement, and, you know, just because he wants his son to. It's not how the system is set up, and it annoyed me when Elway did it, to be honest. It annoyed me when Eli Manning did it.
Yep.
That's not how the system is set up, and they're circumventing the rules. So, anyway.
The Coyotes trading of Martin Hansel. So, mm-hmm. Shane Doan was not happy. You could see it in an interview with Todd Walsh last night in between periods, where he was breathing heavy and trying to find the right words and trying to control himself. Do you think he gets traded this week?
No, I don't think he gets traded, but I think I think his frustration is probably at a high level. And I'm with him. I mean, I think that, you know, and good for the Coyotes. They're playing better now, and maybe they'll prove all of us wrong, but it just feels like they're becoming so irrelevant again. This whole stadium thing is coming back up. They're trading name players. You're hearing Doan frustrated. You know, maybe they're confident with this sort of youth movement and the pieces they have, but I am finding it very hard to be interested in this team right now.
Wow. That comes from someone who's been all over them and wanted to see them get it turned around. Anything else in your wheelhouse this week?
No, I'm just, you know, the postseason of college basketball is near, and I'm giddy, Brad. I'm very happy.
I know you are. Stay well. Talk soon.
All right. Good talking.
Paul Abovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thinking about heading over to the Diamondbacks today. Eric, are you going to go to any spring training? Or is that not in your...
I am going to go. I don't know when I'm going to go. I'm going to be covering the high school basketball finals the next couple of nights.
I'm going to go tomorrow night to see Bash in Corona.
That's going to be a great game.
It'll be a great game. They've not played each other on the high school front.
Great game.
And you've got Alex Barcelo is going to be the starting point guard for U of A next year.
Yep.
And you've got Gabe McLaughlin over at Basha, who's very underrated, even though he may get player of the year. I say that. And you're like, well, what are you talking about, underrated player of the year? Guy doesn't get nearly enough attention. He's a nice big, but he's not a 6'9 big.
And it's the total contrast of styles. You have Corona in their great backcourt, and then you have Basha in their bigs and wings. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. I'm sure Saben Lee is going to have a big game because that's just what Saben Lee does.
That's what Saben Lee does. And Saben Lee's scored over 1,000 points. He's going to Vanderbilt. Is that one done? I'd heard there was some teetering on that.
I've heard it's done.
Yeah. And I would think Bobby Hurley may show up there tomorrow night, and Sean may show up there tomorrow night. That's over at Grand Canyon at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. I was going to go Saturday to see Shadow play against South Point. South Point has a kid, Majuk Dang, who is very, very impressive, and he's just a sophomore. And I've met Majuk just briefly and was extremely impressed with him. And
yeah, he's a great kid.
Somebody that you've gotten to know a little bit, more than a little bit, and we'll be reading and hearing about him, I'm sure, much more down the road.
You will, hopefully by the end of this week.
Wow, really? That's good.
Hopefully.
That's good. There was a fight in that game. So
yeah, there was. Jalen House, imagine that. A house in the middle of a fight.
Jalen.
And smack talking.
Jalen talking. Yeah. I saw Shadow earlier this year. So guys, if you watch this show, you know that I'm a community guy. Like, the Suns play Oklahoma City Friday night. Got it. Russell Westbrook's in town. Knock ourselves out, okay? When you go to these high school championship games, everybody who's into community, I'll see Eddie Johnson there because EJ, they're on the road tomorrow night, so EJ won't be there. Through the years, I would see Ainge. I'd see Hornacek. I would see everybody, Steve Kerr. I would see the basketball players, Nash, show up to watch the finals because you want to see who's next.
And the venue at GCU is perfect for high school basketball finals. It's just the perfect size.
Yeah.
Better than the bigger arenas, but that's just me.
No, I agree with you.
Unless you have the reservation teams that come down and pack those arenas like they did over the weekend.
No, that's a good point. So I may go to a game today. The Diamondbacks play the Reds. It's just trying to get to everything. Tomorrow night, I'm going to go to the high school finals. Friday night, I've decided I've been to two Suns games this year in person. And, you know, to go down there and just watch, it's great for people that don't have access. We have access. I get it. But just to watch the same old nonsense for 7 years, I mean, you know. But Al's going to the Ring of Honor, and that's far more important to me, Al McCoy. And he's going to be on the media podcast later this week. So the Coyotes made the trade last night of Martin Hansel. I'm fine with this, even though Paul is not. They're going nowhere. I'd be fine if they traded Shane at this point. I would like to see Shane go out and get some. I'd be fine if they traded Radim Verbata. I'd be fine if they traded Mike Smith. I just don't care of seeing the same old thing over and over and over. I was having lunch with someone in the TV industry last Thursday, and this person said to me, and this person knows intimately the behind-the-scenes stuff. He said, you know, the Coyotes are getting some ratings now. They're not getting big ratings, but they're getting ratings. So there are people that are looking at them, fans are looking at them saying, you know, we may not know any of these guys. They may get drilled a lot of nights as they did early in the season, but they're playing better. So I get Shane Doan. This was Shane Doan last night in between periods with Todd Walsh, where they do the little conversation on Fox Sports Arizona. And you can tell he's pissed about this. Here's Shane.
That he did so much for our organization on the ice. He was as valuable as any, as any forward we had. And I guess for 10 years being able to play with him and see what he does, I sure appreciated everything he did and was very disappointed in the fact that he's not with us anymore. And you know what, that's the way it is. It's just disappointed as a player and have no really control over it, so you just have to deal with it.
Okay, that was, in my mistake, that was in the locker room after the game was over. The clip that I saw was in between first and second period, and he was pissed. And he should have been. You know, if I'm him and I've put all the blood, sweat, and tears into the organization or organization, as they say, on the ice, and I don't see it come to fruition ever, I just have the same old get your head kicked in mentality here in Arizona. We don't know who the owner is. We don't know about the building. We don't know if we're going to move. We don't know if we're going to stay. We play in front of friends and family. We don't get big ratings. And I've stuck through all of it for my whole career. And a guy who's been alongside of me, he's been here 10 years, he's been right there with me. Now they trade him away for, you know, draft picks. Draft picks are fine as long as you hit on them. You know, it's like our hometown heroes on the basketball court. It's great you have all these draft picks and you have things like flexibility and you got to hit on them. It looks like they've hit on Chris, the Suns. Looks like it. They've hit on Devin Booker, okay? But did they hit on a bunch of guys that have come and gone through the years with these first-round picks? There's plenty of names that have not worked out here. And one of our buddies next week, Markieff Morris, is going to be back here, and he's one of them. You can have all the first-round picks you want, but if you crap the bed on a couple of them, then you're just stuck in the ditch for another 5 years and another 5 years. You can't miss that often. So I don't know if the Coyotes are going to hit on these picks, but I think it's better than a guy who's an unrestricted free agent walking out of here and you get nothing for him. You know, it's like the Suns getting a bag of rocks for PJ Tucker. Very smart trade on their part. Best defensive player, get him out of here, we'll lose more games. And we get something for him, not much of anything, but it's better than nothing. And we get weaker on a team that's already weak. Now we're not really good at all defensively. We're going to lose more in this race to get Lonzo Ball. That's what needs to happen. So, if they trade Shane, I'm not going to sit here and burn down the building. There's going to be plenty of people that would say, oh, I can't believe what they're doing. They have no idea what they're doing over there. No, they have a young GM who says, let me stockpile assets. I think I see some things coming into place. And you've got some veterans over there in Verbata and Smith and Doan that would probably bring back more of the same. But nobody can tell me with a straight face they're going to be here and that they've got it all figured out and they have the right ownership in place. I mean, we've seen this soap opera over and over and over. So, not hating, it's just a fact. Sports360AZ.com, we partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. We want you to check out our website. We have plenty of content up on it. High school, college, pro, pro, college, high school. We go a lot of different directions. There's blogs, there's video, things that we do a little bit off the beaten path by design. We've been at it for 5.5 years. We are self-funded. We appreciate those of you that have partnered with us, that are partnered with us, and help us out. It's the way we get through this day in and day out. Thanks for being with us.